morning and welcome to The White Way, a public service radio program of Moilele Honganji. Moilele Honganji is a Jodo Shinshu Buddhist temple located at 902 University Avenue. Our resident minister is the Reverend Toshiyuki Umitani. He and our members invite you to join us at temple services and activities. If you go to our internet website at www.moileleehonganji.org, you will find a map of our location and some information about our temple and activities. This morning's broadcast is sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Michael Sorokubo in memory of his mother, Mrs. Chiyoko Sorokubo. Our guest speaker this morning is Reverend Blaine Higa of Kona Honganji. Good morning, Reverend Higa.
Good morning and aloha. A few weeks ago, I was talking story with some folks after a service, and we were discussing the things we keep that may not always be necessary. One person keeps socks, even after they're all worn and have holes in them, just in case they need to polish the car. Someone else keeps plastic takeout containers, in the event they need to give food to someone. However, when was the last time we really needed that many socks or plastic containers? We were all laughing at how much we keep and how attached we are to these items. Just the other day, I looked at my own cabinet full of 24-ounce plastic yogurt containers, which I began saving just in case, because, you know, mottai nai. However, I counted over a dozen of them, which I have never used. I take that back. I do remember over a year ago, I used one to pack food for someone. I still have over a dozen. However, after noticing this, what did I do? Did I throw them out? Of course not. I did what we all do. I closed the cabinet and went about my day. I saw them again a few days later as I was making breakfast. They were just staring at me, asking to be used, but I reached for the same containers I always use to store food. How many of us have our favorite cup, dish, storage container that we keep using over and over again? I am just as guilty as everyone else when it comes to falling into these habitual patterns that we don't really think about. I've begun noticing how many cardboard boxes I have and how tall the stack of old newspapers has grown. And like the plastic yogurt containers, they remain undisturbed. These are truly Nembutsu moments when I become aware of myself through the working of Amida Buddha's light of wisdom and compassion. A few days ago, on December 8th, we celebrated the great enlightenment of Prince Siddhartha Gautama, the one who had become the Buddha, the Awakened One. In the sacred story of Bodhi Day, it is said, "When the morning star appeared in the eastern sky, the struggle was over and the prince's mind was as clear and bright as the breaking day. He declared, 'As earth is my witness, seeing this morning star, all things and I awaken together.'" He had become the Buddha, the Awakened One. While the ultimate goal of the Buddha's path is full and complete enlightenment, there are everyday moments of awakening that are an essential part of our journey through life. Shinran Shoning shares in one of his wasan or poems how Amida's working transforms our blind passions, our attachments into the source of our awakening. He says in the Hymns of the Pure Land Masters, "Through the benefit of the unhindered light, we realize Shinjin of vast majestic virtues, and the ice of our blind passions necessarily melts, immediately becoming water of enlightenment." Amida's light is always present in our lives, helping us to truly see ourselves and to transform our delusions and attachments, and inspires us to act with new appreciation and profound gratitude for life. Feeling guilty. I even watched an episode of Tidying Up with Marie Kondo to see if I could get inspired to think differently about all the stuff I am attached to, and began to let some of it go. Needless to say, it's a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. How many of us need to KonMari our lives? Long before Marie Kondo, the Buddha offered wisdom for dealing with the things we hold on to. In the parable of the raft, he shares a simple yet profound lesson on attachment. Once there was a man on a long journey who came to a river. He said to himself, "This side of the river is very difficult and dangerous to walk on, and the other side seems easier and safer, but how shall I get across?" So he built a raft out of the branches and reeds and safely crossed the river. Then he thought to himself, "This raft has been very useful to me in crossing the river. I will not abandon it to rot on the bank, but will carry it along with me." And thus, he voluntarily assumed an unnecessary burden. Can this man be called a wise man? As we reflect on ourselves, we come to realize how hard it is to get rid of our attachments. This is the fundamental cause of suffering. In the parable, the once useful raft became a burden when conditions for its usefulness changed. The Buddha is teaching us how to properly see and understand the raft. The raft is for crossing the river, not for carrying around after that. If the raft appropriately served its purpose, we should leave it behind with gratitude and without any attachments to it. Just like carrying around a raft, we all live with imaginary walls. Some walls are necessary because they create healthy boundaries and offer protection. However, some of the walls we create are obstacles that hold us back. Maybe at one time these walls were necessary, but as conditions change, they are no longer needed. We easily become attached to certain conditions and continue to live as if life is fixed and unchanging. In his teachings, the Buddha emphasized the power of the human mind to create the world in which we live. With the proper mental discipline, we can live mindfully and can discern the necessary from the unnecessary. When I was a child, we built an extension to our house. We enclosed the back patio, but had left the sliding glass door in place, separating the dining room from the new extension. I remember how over time the area right next to the fixed part of the glass became storage, and a narrow walkway the width of the movable part of the door had formed. This made sense at the time, since we couldn't walk through the wall of glass anyway. Around 7 years ago, after living with the glass door for over 25 years, my mom hired a contractor to remove the door to widen the opening between rooms. This made a remarkable difference as a whole new open pathway was created. However, over time, I began to noticing how the same area began filling up with boxes and how a narrow pathway was being formed again. Recently, I was home and was struck by how the former glass door had become an imaginary wall, that the now open pathway had become closed again. In a Jataka tale, one of the animal wisdom stories, the Buddha once lived as a tree sprite in the foothills of the Himalayan mountains, where he encountered a beautiful white elephant who had run away from her cruel owners. Despite being free, the elephant was so terrified of being caught again that even the wind rustling in the grass would cause her to panic. Living in constant state of fear and agitation, the poor elephant grew thin and weak from exhaustion. One day, the tree sprite took pity on the elephant and whispered to her how the fear in her heart would cause her to waste away. The elephant began to reflect and wondered if she really did have anything to be afraid of anymore. Had she simply fallen into the habit of being fearful despite being free? What walls do we keep up despite no longer being necessary? What habitual patterns do we fall back into even when conditions change? Can we discover a new way of being that is appropriate to our current situation? can we let go of that once useful sock or plastic container? Can we see our attachments for what they really are and loosen our grip ever so slightly? The Buddha's teachings help us to see life clearly, enabling us to discern the truly necessary walls from the ones we can take down when they are no longer needed. This self-knowledge is the doorway to wisdom and a life of freedom. This is the power of Amida's light, gently melting the ice of my blind passions and turning it into the water of enlightenment. And hopefully this means at least one less plastic yogurt container just sitting in my cabinet. Thank you for listening. Have a safe and happy holiday season. Take care. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namandabutsu. Mahalo.
Thank you very much, Reverend Higa, for your Dharma message. To re-listen to the message, please check our website at www.moilalihonganji.org for more information. Tomorrow, Sunday, December 12th, the speaker at our 9 a.m. Zoom Bodhi Day service will be Reverend Irene Nakamoto, past president of the Hawaii Federation of Buddhist Women's Association. As we come to the close of our program this morning, we would like to thank our sponsors, Mr. and Mrs. Michael Sorokubo, and our guest speaker, Reverend Blaine Higa of Kona Honganji Mission. We thank you for listening and invite you to join us next week when our guest speaker will be Reverend Shinji Kawagoe of Papaiko Honganji Mission. Namo Amida Butsu.